NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Am Mikrofon heute ist Paul Baskerville. Und in der zweiten Stunde jetzt habe ich einen Gast, und zwar Conor O'Brien, der Kopf und der Songschreiber von der Band Villages aus Dublin in Irland. Villages ist sein Projekt, ist sein Kind, aber auch der Name seiner Begleitband. Hat schon so also normale so Bandmitglieder, die immer mit ihm dabei sind, auch im Studio, wie auch auf Tour. Und sie nennen sich auch Villages. Und es gibt ein neues viertes Album, The Art of Pretending to Swim. Und Conor kommt gleich zu Wort. Wir hören erstmal ein Stück von diesem neuen vierten Album, Love Comes With All It Brings. So das war Love Comes With All It Brings von Villages, von dem neuen Album The Art of Pretending to Swim. Und mein Gast in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Conor O'Brien von Villages aus Dublin in Irland. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Very good to talk to you. And it's what struck me about this album is that it's, I think it's a particularly enjoyable Villages album. It doesn't stress me out as other albums have.
For a change, yeah.
It doesn't stress me out quite as much as your other stuff. No. No, but I mean, that song we just started with is also my favourite song. That's why I wanted to start with it quite indulgently. But is an album which was particularly enjoyable for you to make? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
It was. I mean, it was something that it kind of felt like letting yourself go all the time, you know? It was like if I wanted to try something, I would just try it. And I didn't have any sort of sense of how the final product would be. I was just playing in the studio. So, yeah, that's kind of what I live for, really. Yeah.
Okay. Ja, er sagt auch, dass es das Album wirklich Spaß gemacht hat, also das Album aufzunehmen. Er meinte, es klingt wirklich, als ob er sich einfach so gehen lassen hat. Er hat einfach so Dampf abgelassen. Und das ist dann die ganze Herangehensweise, so was das Album betrifft. And of course, just listening to that track just now, it's obviously completely different to what the last album was like, Darling Arithmetic. But it was presumably a deliberate shift of emphasis.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if it was deliberate. I feel like when I'm making music, I'm not really thinking in a particularly, you know, academic way or literal way. I'm kind of just trying to learn as much as I can. And with this record, it was a lot of it was about learning how to mix and learning how to build a studio and how to sequence things and use synthesizers properly. And I thought it was going to be like an instrumental side project, you know, electronic side project, but I kind of ruined it by putting words into it and then became a Villagers album.
Okay, right. So it's just going to be some kind of like an experimental hobby album in a sense.
Is this going to be?
Was it going to be originally?
Well, it was going to be. I was sending a couple of things to my manager, and he was saying, if you're going to bring this out, we're going to have to do it under a different name because it's just weird.
Okay.
That was the early versions of that songs when they were just kind of grooves and ambient pieces and things like that.
Okay. But,
yeah.
So das Projekt begann eigentlich als ein experimentelles Projekt. Es sollte ursprünglich ein Instrumentalalbum werden, rein elektronisch. Und es sollte ein Lernprozess für ihn sein. Er wollte einfach lernen, wie man Musik richtig mischt und wie man ein eigenes Studio baut. Aber dann hat er angefangen, tatsächlich Texte zu schreiben und dann Gesang mit einzubauen. Und dadurch wurde das Album etwas konventioneller. Sein Manager hatte am Anfang gesagt, so wie die ersten Aufnahmen waren, dass man das Unmögliche, ein Villages Album hätte veröffentlichen können. Aber jetzt ist es doch ein bisschen konventioneller geworden. Und jetzt hören wir noch ein Stück von diesem neuen Album von Villages, The Art of Pretending to Swim, das neue vierte Album. Und hier ist jetzt Real Go-Getter. Das war der Titel Real Go-Getter von The Art of Pretending to Swim, das neue vierte Album von Villages. Mein Gast heute ist Conor O'Brien von Villages. It's interesting because I think there's a smoothness and a sophistication about it. I mean, you say you're not academic, but there's a certain kind of sophistication about it. But nonetheless, the original kind of rawness of what you do, this emotional rawness of what you do is still prevalent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something you were just really keen not to lose, or is it something you didn't have to think about because you're never going to lose that anyway, that
I think,
rawness?
Yeah, more the latter, really. I think I just can't get, you know, there's an essence to the type of writing that I do which I'm never going to lose. But however I dress that writing is the fun part for me, you know. And in this one it was, you know, frequencies and grooves. And I was making a very strong effort with this album and also the last album to hold on to grooves a lot longer and to try not to overthink the song and to try not to put too many ideas into it, to let it kind of almost finish itself off, you know, rather than try to squeeze too many things in. So
Yeah. So you're eventually going to turn into a dance artist, eventually, presumably, then?
Well, I've definitely got stuff in my studio which no one's ever going to hear. And okay. Eventually, if it gets better, I might do that, yeah.
Okay, have you been practicing your dance moves as well?
Always, every day, every morning.
Okay, so we'll see those live someday, no doubt, yeah.
Definitely.
Ja, es war seine Absicht, ein Album zu machen, das groove-orientierter ist als das, was er bisher gemacht hat. Und er glaubt, dass er es zum ersten Mal das richtig hinbekommen hat, das öfter angestrebt, aber es in der Vergangenheit ist es ihm nicht so richtig gelungen. Aber er glaubt, dass er dieses Feeling sehr gut hinbekommen hat in diesem Fall. Und es war ihm wichtig, dass er nicht zu viel über die Songs nachdenkt, über die Struktur der Songs und wie die Songs sich entwickeln. Er wollte, dass die Songs einfach stehen lassen und dass sie vielleicht selber irgendwie zu Ende gehen auf effektive Weise, ohne dass er sich im Prinzip zu sehr einmischt. It is actually, at the end of the day, just quite bright pop music, really. It's very difficult to define what pop music is these days. I mean, you look at the charts and you think of R&B orientated stuff with auto-tune vocals and stuff. But at the end of the day, the songs are, I think it's quite easy to listen to, and it's a very kind of bright sounding record. Mm. Do you feel that it sounds bright as well?
Mm, yeah. Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think with music these days, you can pick and choose whatever you want. You know, there's such a vast array of what constitutes pop music. And you mentioned auto-tuned R&B or whatever, but there's a lot of auto-tuned so-called folk music as well.
Yeah,
you know,
true,
it's everything's starting to mix. And I think that's both terrifying and liberating when you're actually creating music, because it means you don't really have an idea of what genre you're aligning yourself with while you're making it. You're just kind of having to close your eyes and just sing whatever happens to come out, kind of thing. And that's how I did this record, really.
Okay, and you think that's a wholesome development?
I don't know. I mean, I just when I'm writing, it's whatever animates my music and my body. And you know, I think in hindsight, I'll start to, you know, realize what it meant, and when I look back at all my other albums, I can totally see it, an arc to the story of each album and what it meant to me at the time, whether or not I like it or not now. If, you know, if I'm embarrassed of certain parts of it, and it doesn't really matter because I know it all came from a soulful place, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Ja, er sagte, dass wenn man heutzutage Musik macht, die man Popmusik nennt, ist es eigentlich schwer zu definieren, was ist eigentlich Popmusik. Und das, was er selbst macht, ist inzwischen so genreübergreifend. Und er meinte, das ist einerseits beängstigend, aber auch befreiend, weil man kann sich hinsetzen und man hat so viele verschiedene Sachen konsumiert, dass es eigentlich unberechenbar ist, das, was wirklich dann dabei rauskommt. Und er meinte, es gibt nicht nur Autotune R&B heutzutage, sondern Autotune Folkgesang. Und er meinte, es verschiebt sich alles, ändert sich alles und entwickelt sich alles die ganze Zeit. Und er denkt, dass es schon so zeitgemäß ist, das, was er macht in diesem Punkt. Und er kennt schon den Bogen, so wie seine Entwicklung tatsächlich stattgefunden hat. Und er steht dazu, dass es immer authentisch war und überzeugend war, was er gemacht hat in der Vergangenheit. Auch wenn es inzwischen teilweise gar nicht mehr mag, was er in der Vergangenheit gemacht hat. Auch wenn es teilweise ein bisschen peinlich ist, bestimmte Sachen aus der Vergangenheit. Aber er steht dazu, weil er weiß, dass es wirklich authentisch war und richtig so mit Seele. Und das ist sein Maßstab und das trifft auch auf dieses Album zu. Right, we're going to hear another track from the album now, A Trick of the Light, which is the latest single, isn't it? And it's a song which I think is, I mean, you were talking about not overthinking things, but there's still a lot of lyrics in there in a song like Trick of the Light, which I think stand to attention, are really interesting. Would you like to maybe just elaborate a little bit on Trick of the Light?
Yeah, it was one of those songs that kind of, I guess it trickled out in one go. Sometimes I have songs where I have the words in my notebook almost like a poem, and then I have some music and I put them together. Whereas with this one, the music and the words kind of all just came out at the same time. I wrote it on the Dingle Peninsula in Ireland, just on the west coast, in the middle of nowhere, really, and then brought it back to my city apartment and did 20 versions of it and ruined it 20 times until I found the original version was the best, kind of thing.
And okay, that was it. So this is the original version now, which is quite interesting.
Pretty much, yeah, a dressed up version of it. Yeah.
So the next album is just going to all be being recorded in this peninsula then.
Well, you've just given me that idea, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So dieses Stück, die erste Single von dem Album Trick of the Light, ist ein Song, der ziemlich spontan entstanden ist. Er meinte, manchmal dauert es ewig, bis ein Song wirklich zustande kommt. In diesem Fall war das nicht so, dass die Texte schon in so Notizbuch schon drin waren und dann irgendwann kam die Musik dazu. Er meinte, dass die Musik und die Texte im Prinzip gleichzeitig entstanden sind. Und die Komposition wurde quasi geschrieben auf einer Halbinsel an der Westküste von Irland, die Dingle Peninsula. Und mit dieser Rohfassung ist er dann zurückgefahren in seine Stadt Dublin, in seinem so Stadtwohnung. Und dann hat er 20 Mal irgendwie verschiedene Versionen gemacht, die alle ganz schlimm waren, bis er irgendwann kapiert hat, dass die ursprüngliche Version, die im Prinzip die Demo-Version, am schönsten war. Und so ist es im Prinzip geblieben. Hier ist jetzt Trick of the Light von Villages, von dem neuen Album The Art of Pretending to Swim. So das war Trick of the Light von dem neuen Album The Art of Pretending to Swim. Mein Gast heute ist Conor O'Brien, also der Kopf der Band. You still understand yourself, presumably, as being the main man. I mean, you've always been the main man, haven't you? I mean, you actually have this name, Villages, and you've always had people working with you in a band format. But are you basically, you lay down the law, don't you, in every respect?
I do. It depends on what part of the process I'm in. So I'm usually quite... I usually work kind of in solitude, very much so, when I'm writing and when I'm doing demos and things. But once I've sent it to the band and we get together, and just last week we did 2 weeks of rehearsals, and a lot of that is kind of relinquishing control a little bit and allowing the musicians to feel it out themselves to a certain degree.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
I understand the implication, yeah. you don't put your foot down in it.
Yeah, well, I do, but I think I'm also kind of aware that sometimes it's better not to put your foot down, you know, especially if you're playing with such good musicians. So I think that the next few months of touring will be interesting because, again, the songs will change and grow, and there's musicians in my band that can do things that I could never do, you know.
Sure.
So, I want to be open to that.
Ja, also er hat immer eine Begleitband gehabt und es ist nicht ganz klar, ob es eine richtige Band ist, die Villages heißt, oder ob es einfach sein Projekt ist, das Villages heißt. Und er meinte, er arbeitet mit sehr guten Musikern zusammen, aber wenn er Musik komponiert, das passiert schon, wenn er alleine ist. Und natürlich, wenn die Proben dann stattfinden, dann muss er im Prinzip die Macht ein bisschen teilen. Und insofern gibt es schon einen gewissen Einfluss von den anderen Musikern, aber letztendlich versteht er sich schon als der eigentliche so Chef des Ganzen. Aber er meinte, wenn sie auf Tour gehen, dann ein paar Monate auf Tour, dann ist es schon der Fall, dass die anderen Musiker durchaus ihren Einfluss auf den gesamten Sound eigentlich dann nehmen. Because you were mentioning your city apartment, which is in Dublin, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And do you think that you are still... I mean, you've always been considered to be this Dublin artist, obviously, and people always like to kind of make a meal of people coming from Ireland. There's always something romantic about it. But just setting that apart, do you actually feel that emotionally it's just important for you to actually to be there, to be in a peninsula on the West Coast or to be in Dublin, to actually create your art, as opposed to sitting in a city apartment in Manchester or in Hamburg or whatever?
I don't know. I mean, there is something interesting about, you know, living in Ireland, and also I used to live outside of the city, so, you know, sometimes you feel like you're living on the fringe of things, and then you're also, just being in Ireland itself, you're kind of on the fringe of everything as well. And then if you're on the West Coast, you're basically on the fringe of the edge of the world kind of thing.
Right, okay.
So all those things are probably swimming around somewhere in your subconscious while you're growing up and while you're learning how to write. And then, you know, if you're growing up and discovering that you're gay and you're on the fringe of things, and just the fringe of things seems to be a constant creative source. If you know, for me anyway, maybe perhaps in a wider sense as well for artists in general. But yeah, when I come back, I'm enjoying coming back to Ireland these days because it's quite a changed country. It's a very different country to the one I grew up in, which is. Fun.
Okay, so you're feeling the effects of the repeal bill and things. I mean, does that affect you artistically, the political developments or the Brexit issue, for example? Now, do you actually feel that has an effect on you as an artist?
Totally, it does, because when I started making music and art, it came from a very indignant, angry, and frustrated place, and I'm finding it harder to feel those things on a general level. Maybe because of age, but also because of the fact that
at least socially speaking, the society that I'm living in right now is has moved on quite a lot, has progressed quite a lot in the last 15 years kind of thing. So it kind of changes the energy that you bring to your music, to your art. Yeah.
Okay. Ja, er sagt, dass es ihm schon wichtig ist, dass er immer noch in Irland ist, dass er dort lebt. Und er meint, hat schon viele Jahre außerhalb der Großstadt Dublin gelebt. Und das ist schon ein Gefühl so von Einsamkeit gewesen, hat das Gefühl gehabt, am Rand der Welt fast zu wohnen. Oder wenn man an der Westküste ist zum Beispiel, das ist wirklich fast wie das Ende der Welt. Und es ist wichtig, dort zu bleiben, weil er auch Bilanz ziehen will, auch als Künstler, wie es überhaupt ist, als schwuler Künstler auch groß zu werden in Irland. Und das hat alles auch seine Kunst auch beeinflusst. Und was die Politik des Landes betrifft, dass die Änderung in dem Abtreibungsgesetz neulich oder diese Unsicherheit, was Brexit betrifft und wie es die Grenze beeinflussen wird, das sind alles Dinge, die ihn natürlich schon sehr berühren. Und er findet es wichtig, dass er quasi daran teilnimmt, indem er auch noch da wohnhaft ist. Aber er meinte, grundsätzlich ist die Stimmung besser geworden. Es ist ein viel schönerer Ort, als es war, als er da aufgewachsen ist. Er meinte, es ist nicht so zornig, es ist nicht so wütend. Er meinte, es ist eigentlich so angenehm von der Stimmung her. Und er hält auf jeden Fall also sehr viel von seinem Land. So the next track we're going to hear now is the track Fool, which is more or less a perfect pop song, I would say, isn't it? I mean, was that the idea behind it then?
Well, actually, initially it was... I wrote it as a kind of a much more sprawling folk kind of piece, and I played it a lot slower, and I was trying to learn a new style of finger picking, and I think I managed to in trying to learn that, I managed to avoid thinking about the lyrics too much, and therefore made pages and pages of stuff that just came from I guess, you know, subconscious places about thinking about technology and how it's affecting our everyday lives and how it's changing the way we compartmentalize things in our brains, and how that's changing the way that, you know, we relate to people and society and everything. And then I spent a few weeks with that, and then realized that no one would want to hear it unless I turned it into a concise, you know, little pop ditty. And once I did, it just suddenly made sense.
So it was going to be 20 minutes, now it's down to 3.
Yeah, well, maybe not 20, but yeah, 15.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Es ist interessant, dieses nächste Stück, das wir gleich hören, Fool, es ist ein kurz und bündiges Popstück. Und es war ursprünglich ganz anders gedacht. Er meinte, es sollte eigentlich ein ganz langes, experimentelles Stück sein. Zettel, also circa 15 Minuten lang. Er wollte das nutzen, um sein Gitarrenspiel zu verbessern und einfach so neue Technik zu lernen. Und das ist eine Art Übungsprozess zu betrachten. Aber dann hat er dann die Texte dazu geschrieben und die handelten von der Technologie der heutigen Zeit und wie es unser Leben so radikal verändert hat, wie es unser Gehirn auch verändert und wie der Umgang mit unseren Mitmenschen sich zum Negativen verändert hat, auch teilweise durch die Technologie. Und dann wusste er, denn wenn er so eine bedrohliche Botschaft hat, dann muss er die Musik etwas einfacher gestalten, sonst würde kein Mensch sich das hören wollen. Also hören wir jetzt Fool von dem neuen Album The Art of Pretending to Swim von Villages. So das war Fool von The Art of Pretending to Swim Album, das neue Album von Villages, und mein Gast heute ist Conor O'Brien. You touched on your childhood in Ireland, and do you think that still affects what you're writing now? Because I think that when it comes down to your vocals especially, I think your vocals are so important to what you do. It kind of stamped all over what you do, no matter what the production is like. And I still, there's still something, in a positive sense, almost like childlike about it. Mm-hmm. And in a positive, I don't know how to put it in any other words, but it doesn't sound, you never sound tired or
road kind of, weary.
Exactly. It still sounds fresh and something, innocent's the wrong word, but do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. I have a certain romanticism about and trying to express a naivety of to some extent, and I think naivety is an interesting place to come from when you're writing. I don't really know how to expound on that though.
No, it's okay. No.
It's a general feeling that I have really when I'm singing. I do enjoy, yeah, that sense of naivety. Really.
But I think it's very important. It's a kind of rich component of what you do because it also makes you original in the sense that you don't sound like anybody else.
Okay,
You know, which I think is important because there are quite a lot of songwriters who sound very similar to other songwriters, uh-huh. You know, even if they've got good songs, you know what I mean?
You're saying all the right things here, thank you.
Well, Oh, I'm trying to say something wrong then, yeah. to make up for it, yeah. One thing occurred to me, actually, is that I remember, I don't watch much English television because I'm resident in Germany, but I remember years ago seeing you on the Jules Holland show on the TV. Uh-huh. I think it was the first time you were probably on. And you're on the same show as Marina and the Diamonds. And she was being interviewed about who she liked on the show. And she immediately said, oh, I thought Villagers were brilliant. I thought, absolutely brilliant. Huh. And I thought, well, that's interesting because people's conception of Marina and the Diamonds is different to the conception that they have of you. But if you think about it, maybe you are kindred spirits because both artists write kind of very intimate songs. You're both kind of melodically quite spectacular. And it's this kind of bright pop music. You know, obviously, you don't actually, you know, there's not much physical resemblance, obviously. But, but you know what I mean? I think
we're both brunettes, though, aren't we?
Maybe, yeah, yeah. No, but what I'm saying, I think what's all important is this idea of the songwriter not being boring, you know what I mean? Not boring people to tears, but being bright mm-hmm. and colourful, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think we might have gone a slightly more Marina and the Diamonds direction.
With this album, yeah. Well, exactly.
She went in the Villagers direction.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. You'll meet up somewhere properly, yeah. Or she'll probably backtrack and make an album like your last one.
Yeah.
We'll see, yeah. Anyway. I'm not sure what I was really meaning.
Paul Weller was at that filming as well. That was the first time I met him.
Okay.
And I've just actually ended up writing a song with him on his new record.
On his new record?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And doing a little singing on it as well, which was a bit of a dream come true.
Oh, right. Well, you're too young to like the Jam, aren't you?
Oh, I was really into the Jam when I was in school. I used to go over to my buddy Pete's house and we used to watch old Jam bootlegs of them playing, and actually them playing in Hamburg. There was a really cool old bootleg of them doing
playing the Markthalle.
Which what?
Of playing the Markthalle.
That might be it. Yeah.
Okay. Perhaps. I was there, so that kind of.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's kind of gives a few things about how old I am. Anyway, also meinte, dass seine Art von Gesang gewissermaßen kindlich ist, weil tatsächlich immer sehr romantisch war von der Veranlagung her und legt Wert auf Naivität in der Kunst. Findet das immer sehr interessant. Und er denkt, dass es eigentlich immer besonders schön ist, eigentlich so, wenn man eine Naivität in der Kunst dann spürt. Das ist ihm schon wichtig. Und ich sagte ihm, dass er mich teilweise an Marina and the Diamonds erinnert. Vielleicht ein bisschen ein absurder Vergleich, aber schon eine gewisse Intimität in ihrer Herangehensweise. Und sehr, also etwas, so ein Sinn für Pathos auch, also was ihre Songs betrifft. Und das hat er nicht abgestritten. Ob er das wirklich auch so gesehen hat, das weiß ich nicht so genau. Und in diesem Sinne hören wir jetzt Marina and the Diamonds von ihrem letzten Album von 2015. Das Album hieß Fruit. Hier ist Immortal. Das war Immortal von Marina and the Diamonds von dem Album Fruit 2015. So, the next song doesn't sound like Marina and the Diamonds at all. Again, it's the first song on the album, which I think is interesting because the lyrics, I think, you stand up to attention, listen to the lyrics of that song immediately. And it seems like, I don't know, well, everybody in Ireland is religious anyway, aren't they? So maybe it's not a big deal, but it sounds like you're talking about religious faith and or regaining your faith again or something. And is that an important component of the album?
I'd say it's more semiotics than anything else. It's more about using the word God rather than actually trying to think too much about that in a more organized religion sense. And I think, you know, for me, it's kind of almost about reclaiming it from kind of the negative connotations that I gradually built onto it as I was growing up. And the song itself says, I found a place in my heart for God in the form of art again. It's just a reference to kind of the mysterious nature of the creative process, which I hold very close to my heart okay. and my soul, and sort of the idea of creative flow, and you know, you can take that in a very specific sense in terms of songwriting, or you can take it in a much wider sense, which I tend to do, using writing as almost a metaphor for flow in life and such. But I just sound like an old hippie when I'm talking about the song. I think it's better to listen to it.
Well, songwriters always sound like old hippies anyway, don't they? So there's no way out of that. Das Lied Again hören wir jetzt gleich. Und er erwähnt Gott häufig auf diesem Stück und auch in anderen Songs auf dem Album auch, aber besonders bei diesem ersten Stück auf dem Album. Und er sagt an einer Stelle, I found a place for God in my art again. Und er meinte, es ist nicht unbedingt eine Aussage über seine Gläubigkeit, sondern es geht einfach eher darum, dass er im Prinzip Kunst generell bewundert. Eigentlich ist, und er findet es ein Wunder, wie Kunst zustande kommt und wie die Kreativität, die er hat, wie es dann fließt und wie es zustande kommt. Und von daher gesehen ist Gott eine Art Metapher, im Grunde genommen, im Zusammenhang mit seiner Kunst. Wir hören das Stück jetzt Again von dem Album The Art of Pretending to Swim von Villages. So das war die Again, das erste Stück auf dem Album The Art of Pretending to Swim von Villages, und mein Gast ist Conor O'Brien immer noch. Do you think that people have to be quite intelligent to enjoy your music then?
I hope not.
Well, I think people tend to think of you as being like songwriting music for the intelligentsia, you know what I mean, for the intellectuals. So do you think that's a misnomer?
I think I would disappoint them in a dinner party conversation if they thought I was part of the intelligentsia. Not really, no. I don't think... I mean, there's not, you know, a whole bunch of literary references in my music, or it's kind of... You know, I prefer to see it as you can take it as you want to, really. You don't have to... There's definitely nothing prescriptive about it, and there's nothing. It's not trying to say anything in terms of having a message necessarily. It's more me just playing about with stuff quite obsessively and working, I guess, working really hard on it, but also not quite understanding what it is, and then the final result is that, you know. There's mm-hmm. something kind of, you know, again, mysterious about it, which I kind of want to hold on to, and you know, that's kind of why I find it hard to do things like this, because I don't necessarily want to understand it fully,
right.
And if I did, I wouldn't really trust it if I understood it, you know, too much, I guess.
Now, it's interesting because you said the album started up by you actually trying to experiment to actually become more competent, really, with what you're doing, like building a studio and practicing mixing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you still actually feel like a student of the art, in a sense.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely found a huge new love for boring kind of nerdy stuff, and like frequencies and frequency analyzers and yeah, just sequencing drums and just all that stuff. I realize it's almost, you know, it's, I see that as an extension of the expression, you know. First you might have a song which has some words in it which mean something, and you might have some chords which mean something, but that's just as important as how you tuned the snare drum, or how loud you put the kick drum, or when the Moog comes in, or I see it all as one thing, you know. It's like a kind of a puzzle to put together, really.
Okay. Ja, er sagt, weil ich denke, dass sein Ruf ist ein bisschen so, ein Songwriter für Intellektuelle zu sein. Und er hat ein bisschen gelacht. Er meinte, dann richtige Intellektuelle, die wären sehr enttäuscht, wenn er mit dabei sitzen würde am Abendbrotstisch und am Essenstisch, weil er dann nicht wirklich so intellektuell ist. Er meinte, dass seine Songs vermitteln nicht wirklich Botschaften in dem Sinne und sind nicht hochtrabend. Und er denkt, dass seine Musik nur schon was so Obsessives an sich hat, also eine Art so Besessenheit, und hat schon ein gewisses Mysterium. Das ist ihm wichtig. Das ist vielleicht deshalb nicht immer einfach zu verstehen ist. Und deshalb erzählt nicht so viel, nicht gerne so viel in Interviews über die Bedeutung seiner Musik, weil er das vielleicht selber nicht so hundertprozentig erkennen will. Er denkt, so, das soll ein bisschen mysteriös bleiben. Und er hat sich schon immer mehr für die Technologie interessiert, für die Technik von Studioarbeit. Und er meint, das ist eine ewige Herausforderung, das zu meistern und zu beherrschen. Weil wenn man das wirklich gut kann, dann ist es ein Teil seiner Kunst, weil es ist ein Teil von seinem Ausdruck, wie er damit umgeht. Wenn er effektiv damit umgehen kann, dann wird seine Kunst sich auch verändern. Und das ist ihm dann total wichtig. Right, so we're running out of time. Well, it's very nice to talk to you. Thank you.
You too. Yeah, thank you.
And did you enjoy the summer? Because it sounds like you enjoyed the summer. It seems like almost like a summer album in a way. There's a warmth to it, which sounds like this never-ending summer, I think, you know.
Yeah. Well, there was a never-ending summer in Dublin.
Oh, right, okay.
Which was, everyone went absolutely insane, mm-hmm. and just went down to the canal and just drank loads of cans. And Yeah.
So that might have affected you subconsciously anyway, yeah.
Yeah, definitely the next morning it affected me, but yeah, that was, okay. Yeah.
So es war ein Sommeralbum gewissermaßen. Er meinte, auch der Sommer war natürlich besonders heiß in Dublin, und es hat ihn mit Sicherheit irgendwie geprägt, letztendlich. So we're going to hear the last track on the album, Ada, to finish off. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Well, maybe you are. Yeah, I pronounce it Ada, but...
Ada, okay.
You know.
Okay, Ada. Right, I'm sure you've got it right, not me. So das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Mein Gast heute war Conor O'Brien in der zweiten Stunde von Villages. Und zum Schluss haben wir jetzt das Stück Ada von dem neuen Album The Art of Pretending to Swim. Und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.